It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, November 9th, 2008. Ragnar Dansjold, and you have once again stumbled on The Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate radio community. But we touch on all forms of pirate radio, AM, FM, shortwave, whatever. Hey, we got a couple pirates in the news this week, and also some news around the blogosphere. We're going to go through some relevant forum postings, including the Free Radio Network, and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We have a few really good off-air recordings this week, a couple other radio-related things, and some closing thoughts for me, so stay tuned. It's a Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dansjold.
I do have a couple things I want to touch about before we get into Pirates in the News. Hey, I have finally broke down and added the Pirates Week to iTunes. Well, actually, it's not there yet, but I'm expecting it to show up probably later today. They're approving it if we can actually get approved here at the Pirates Week. But we can finally be found there, hopefully later today, like I said. I also added the option to have the show automatically emailed to you every week if you want to receive us that way. Check out the homepage for that. That's piratesweek.info, and we'll have that emailed out to you every day. If you don't want to download it or listen to it on the homepage, or, you know, the one of the myriad ways we get delivered to you, just adding options. Hey, if you have been living under a rock this last week, you are aware that Barack Obama stole the U.S. presidential election from Commander Bunny this last week by the use of various techniques, including voter fraud, intimidation, and Diebold voting machines. The military-industrial complex, in tandem with the Bilderberg Foundation, has guaranteed the continuance of Simeon government. And now we have a Democratic-led government. The leadership of the FCC will surely change. So what does this mean for pirate radio? Well, some Democratic chairman of the FCC has made very friendly remarks about pirate radio in the past, but frankly, politics at this high level is beyond my expertise. So hopefully some better suited commentators on this subject matter will expand the topic. That's right, I'm calling you out, Media Geek, or maybe Stevie over Media Minutes. What does a Democratic-led FCC mean for pirate and LPFM radio, low-power FM, low-power AM? Inquiring minds want to know, and actually I need some free material for the show. So hopefully I'm calling out the Media Geek and some other experts in the field. What does a Democratic-led government and Democratic-led FCC gonna mean for pirate radio?
Pirates in the news.
Well, I have a few things for Pirates in the News this week. First up, a quick mention of some FCC action against a Boston resident. This isn't actually pirate radio, but just some stupidity on the airwaves. This is from this week in amateur radio.
The FCC has canceled a proposed fine levied against a Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts resident, only identified as John Doe, based on his inability to pay a proposed $10,000 fine. Instead, it has admonished him for his willful and repeated violation of Section 301 of the Communications Act after he was caught operating radio transmission equipment on land mobile channels reserved exclusively for use by public safety entities.
Okay, here's a public service announcement. Hey kids, don't screw with the police frequencies. That's right, go into a store, buy a radio, have it modified to go out on the police frequency, and then start harassing cops. Not a good idea. Okay, next up, an actual pirate. This is a Dateline Lakeland, Florida. Just 2 days ago, I think it was Thursday or Friday this last week, a Lakeland man was arrested, accused of running a pirate radio station out of a local motel. Yes, folks, we have another FM medium band bust in Florida. The story continues to say Frankie Grover, 53, out of North Lake Prairie Drive, was charged with operating a radio station without a federal license. This is a felony in Florida. Polk County Sheriff's Detective tuned in to a possible crime when they saw a flyer advertising a party sponsored by Blazin' 87.9 Da Biz. That's right. Blazin' 87.9 Da Biz. A check with the Federal Communications Commission showed no license had been issued to FM 87.9 in that area. Detectives searched three rooms at the Kingston Inn Motel on Memorial Drive. They found Grover was operating a live webcam, internet, and radio broadcast. The daily playlist include talk shows, live interviews, and gospel and blues music. Grover previously owned WHNRAM in Winter Haven. Authorities said Grover was renting the rooms for $450 a week. Detectives seized all of Grover's equipment. He was released after posting a $1,000 bond. Currently, I checked, WGBC website is offline. That's a 53-year-old guy, Frankie Grover, busted by the police down in Florida for broadcasting on 87.9, Blazin' 87.9, Da Biz. And lastly, from the International Radio Report, an update on the upcoming movie, The Boat That Rocked. I've mentioned that it's in production on occasion here on the Pirates Week. Looks like they have a target release date now, and, well, this from CKUT's International Radio Report.
Other quick news, The Boat That Rocked movie is to premiere in the UK May 1st, 2009. The Radio London website, which keeps alive the spirit of the 1960s offshore radio station Radio London, now has some fascinating photos of the project. In 2007, they intended the Radio Academy Celebration of Offshore Radio, accompanied by the film's associate producer, and they feel free what life was really like aboard the radio ships. The producers stress that the film is fictional, and the story was not based on any specific station from the 60s. The ship SeaLink Challenger is starring as the floating radio station, and a little young for the job, was actually built in 1964. It was like old cargo ships and stuff that were used back in the day. Anyway, it's starring some pretty big names. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Kenneth Branagh will be starring in the movie. So we'll be anxiously awaiting till that movie comes out. We'll be reviewing it when it comes out in May. Very cool.
Hey, and congratulations out there to Steve and Janice for the mention that they got in the new book, Broadcasting on Shortwave. Congratulations, you two. Hey, I also linked to the shows on rfprograms.com. You should listen to the International Radio Report. It's a great radio resource, but you also get to hear Janice say stuff like this.
Maybe his pants were causing interference. Anyway, so strip naked, climb a cell phone tower today.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Well, it's time to take a look at the some postings around the internet, starting off like we always do with the free radio network, frn.net/vines. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention the post by the official press release that the U.S. national election and how it was rigged and stolen from Commander Bunny. Commander, due to a imminent and substantial threats to his safety, he has been sequestered to his bunny hutch by his security detail. Once this is passed, we assume that he will emerge from his undisclosed location with an announcement regarding the election. The country awaits. Well, over in the workshop forum, the replies to Cracker's post on helically wound verticals continue. 807B says that he would lay down chicken wire or a lot of really short radios on the roof, basically from the base of the antenna out to the edge of the roof, creating the ground plane. And then he'd use a large diameter tube for the 8-foot vertical part. An 8-foot piece of galvanized iron downpipe might work okay, or a cage made of copper wire 3 to 4 inches or even bigger in diameter. At the top, a very large capacity hat 10 to 12 feet across. The more capacity hat, less of a loading coil you're going to need. Then between the vertical and the capacity hat, a loading coil to provide whatever inductance is required to get the whole thing to resonance. And not some wimpy loading coil, but a space-wound large gauge coil. The bigger the wire, the more spacing is less of a loss you're going to have. He goes on to say, if you get the efficiency up, the bandwidth will be much smaller than a dipole, and also the impedance at the base will be very low, probably around 8 ohms. So you'll need a matching network anywhere. So that's actually a pretty decent design that 807B kind of came up with there. WNKR also posted and chimed in with a supply of a picture of an article he wrote about 18 years ago for half-size dipoles on 48 or 76 meters, turning out to be a very cool thread that Cracker started over in the workshop forum for antennas in the attic, not just for receiving, but also for broadcasting. Hey, I'm not going to get into what appears to be a flame war of some sort over on Alt Radio Pirate, but there seems to be a discussion ongoing of an ex-FCC field agent's resume, or at least a supervisor of field agents. His resume, it's a somewhat interesting reading anyways, but like I said, sounds like someone's trying to get even with somebody. Hey, and finally, from the Free Radio Weekly number 665, ooh, next week should be good. Dated November 8th, covering free radio activity from the November 1st to the 7th, stations being heard on air include Convoy Radio, Outhouse Radio, Undercover Radio, and Wolverine Radio, all being logged this last week on the pirate airwaves. And also Greg Majewski caught a Europirate Mystery Radio on 6220 AM on the 1st of November. Congrats there, Greg. And QSLs being received this past week include Radio Paisano. Ed Insinger got one from Radio Paisano. He received the green, white, and red e-card, number 20, with sailing ships on it. The note from Luigi said that this was his third Columbus Day broadcast.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, it's time now to do some off-air recordings. We got a few good ones for you this week. Let's first just see if anybody's on air. Kick up the radio. It's on 6925. Nothing but static this morning, Sunday morning, 1505 UTC. So let's get on with the off-air recordings. First up, Lex caught the hole. 11708-6930, upper sideband, playing some political commentary, something about the recent election. He had a lot of QRM, so this little recording is about a minute long. Lex calls it off at 31332 for an SINPO. Take a listen to The Hole.
To The Hole on 6930. Our email address is con, K-A-H-N, at whoever, W-H-O-E-V-E-R. November 4th, 2008, the American people in a desperate want for change.
themselves the largest thief in American history. Now, this is not about race. This is not about a black man in the White House. This is about the preservation of freedom and liberty. We were structured into electing a man to the most powerful position in the world who normally wouldn't even be able to pass a background check.
Yeah, that was Lex's Palstar R30C with a little bit of magnet wire strung around his ceiling, pulling in some pretty good stuff. Next up, I caught MAC 6950.6 in the AM mode, 11808, around 1730 UTC, a really nice 45333 SINPO. Tuned in just to hear Ultraman getting his show on the road, so take a listen to MAC.
We just heard money can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. And so, before that, we had Elvis Presley doing Nightbiter on the Ultraman show. Our email address is macshortwave@yahoo.com. Again, our email address is macshortwave@yahoo.com. Okay. Now we're going to listen to a song that Palstar never played. He's had it in his hand, but he never played it. Well, this looks like a job for Ultraman on MAC shortwave. Or is it MC radio on your shortwave dial?
And finally, with the most logs on the FRN this week, WTCR, 20th Century Radio, 6925 Upper Side Band, Saturday evening, 0210 UTC, SINPO 35323 here. And came on with the fanfare and the 20th Century Radio ID. I have three separate recordings of this broadcast. It had over 10 logs on the FRN. I'm going to give you several recordings as it was heard around the country. First up is going to be my recording about halfway through the broadcast. And then we're going to do Lex down in Texas and Sea Lord in Florida with his Tentex RX340. Take a listen to WTCR. First up, my recording with the Drake SW8.
This is WTCR, 20th Century Radio.
And like I said before, Lex also caught WTCR down in Texas with his Palstar R30C. Take a listen towards the end of the broadcast with WTCR as heard in Texas.
This is WTCR signing off. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow. If you would like to receive a QSL card, please send your reception report to WTCR, Box 1, Belfast, New York, 14711. Please include 3 cents or $1 or $2.
And what's really cool is Sea Lord in Florida caught the exact same clip as Lex. Take a listen to how Sea Lord caught it down in Florida.
This is WTCR signing off. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow. If you would like to receive a QS shout-card, please send your reception report to WTCR, Box 1, Belfast, New York, 14711. Please include 3 stamps or $1 or 2.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
I no longer talk about the propagation forecast on a weekly basis, but I did find something on the Science at NASA podcast. Looks like the solar cycle is finally ticking up a little bit. This from the Science at NASA podcast.
After 2+ years of few sunspots, even fewer solar flares, and a generally eerie calm, the sun is finally showing signs of life. "I think solar minimum is behind us," declares sunspot forecaster David Hathaway of the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. His statement is prompted by an October flurry of sunspots. "Last month, we counted 5 sunspot groups," he says. That may not sound like much, but in a year with record low numbers of sunspots and long stretches of utter spotlessness, 5 is significant. This represents a real increase in solar activity. Even more significant is the fact that 4 of the 5 sunspot groups belong to Solar Cycle 24, the long-awaited next installment of the sun's 11-year activity cycle. October was the first time we've seen sunspots from new Solar Cycle 24 outnumbering spots from old Solar Cycle 23. It's a good sign that the new cycle is taking off, he says. Old Solar Cycle 23 peaked in the year 2000 and has since decayed to low levels. Meanwhile, new Solar Cycle 24 has struggled to get started. 2008 is a year of overlap, with both cycles weakly active at the same time. From January to September, the sun produced a total of 22 sunspot groups. 82% of them belong to old Cycle 23. October added 5 more, but this time 80% belonged to Cycle 24. The tables have turned. At first glance, old and new cycle sunspots look the same, but they are not. To tell the difference, solar physicists check 2 things: a sunspot's heliographic latitude and its magnetic polarity. 1. New cycle sunspots always appear at high latitude, while old cycle spots cluster around the sun's equator. 2. The magnetic polarity of new cycle spots is reversed compared to old cycle spots. 4 of October's 5 sunspot groups satisfied these 2 criteria for membership in Solar Cycle 24.
Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Pirates Week. I thank you again for joining us here. Hey, a couple things. No show for the next couple Sundays. I won't be back until after Thanksgiving. That's right. I'll be on a much-deserved vacation, deer hunting in the western Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So nothing until December. So you all behave yourselves until then. Actually, if I get a chance, I might be able to throw something together right around Thanksgiving or so, but I doubt it. It'll be December before I'm back. And, hey, like I said, stay tuned. We'll be back. So, what did we learn this week? Well, we learned that the sun is finally pulling out of the doldrums and starting its new cycle. We also learned that Florida continues its inane pursuit of FM medium wave radio stations. And also, the U.S. election system continues to be manipulated by the true owners of the planet and won't let the population vote for the rabbit of their choice. Yeah, I'm going to leave you with the song I started the intro with today. That's a KYAR from Pirates R Us. I found it on a podcast, Bilge Monkey Radio. I'm not kidding here. Bilge Monkey Radio, with a whole bunch of pirate radio music. Actually, not so much pirate radio music, it's just pirate music. You can find it at, well, I'll have links in the show notes, but I'm going to leave you with KYAR from Pirates R Us. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
from the boat anchor's soft glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
Without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.